before we go, let's just quote it one time so we know what we're talking about. On the count of three, one, two, three. If you repent and believe, you can receive the gift of salvation. Are you ready? Now, as we've been doing in the past, we want to frame the gospel next with a little illustration that gives eyes to your ears. Remember, we want to show people the lesson before we tell people the lesson. So I'm going to share you a little story about a gift, obviously, and then we're going to say the gospel next. And then you and your gospel partner are going to practice that. It's very simple like this. Every Christmas or birthday, you receive a gift. You don't earn it, you can't pay for it, and you can't repay somebody for it, and you can't deserve it. They give it to you because they love you. In the same way, the gospel says if you repent and believe, you can receive the gift of salvation. Amen, amen. Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Can I have all y'all stand up? Y'all ready for church today? Okay, it's going to get a little hot today. It's going to get a little hot today. Before I talk, I'll save that to a letter. Lift your hands up in the air. Just reach to the ceiling. Take a deep breath in and hold it. Take another one. Another one. You guys feel a tingle? No? Okay, listen. Here we go. Hold it. Another one in. Another one in. Feel the tingle? Yeah, you feel the tingle. Yeah, you like that, huh? Yeah, you like that, huh? Okay. Lord, thank you. You gonna pass out? Okay. Lord, thank you so much for all these people. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Lord, challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. We are going to have a meeting for influencers. So if you think you are an influencer, please scan the QR code and we'll get information to you if we believe that you are an influencer. I got 10 followers. You may not be an influencer. Now, we really do want to have a meeting with influencers so we can talk about how we can get the gospel out through your influence and leverage your followers to get the gospel out and get people exposed to who Jesus is. Amen? Before I start, how many of y'all would consider this your church? Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. The reason I ask you that is because I'm going to say some stuff today, and I do this every Sunday, but especially today, I just want to make sure that I'm talking to you. And you'll know what I'm talking about when I get there. But if this is your church, what you're saying is that God has led me to come here to learn about him and get direction on what I'm supposed to do with my life through the pastor and the leadership. That's what that means, okay? It doesn't mean that's where you go every now and then. So I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. How many of y'all know who Deion Sanders is, by the way? Everybody, does anybody not know who Deion Sanders is? Okay, you don't know who Deion Sanders is, really? Okay. Do you have a TV? Okay. So Deion Sanders is an athlete. He played professional football, but he also played professional baseball at the same time, by the way. He actually had, I think it was a 24-hour period where he hit a home run in the major leagues, and he scored a touchdown in the NFL. He used to take a helicopter from one game to another. Now he's a coach in college, and his son is getting ready to be drafted in the first round as a quarterback, and his other son probably gets drafted as well. But when he was playing baseball, professional baseball, he played against the San Diego Padres, and I did the chapel, and then after chapel, I went to his locker in the locker room and said, hey, can we talk? And we sat down and talked about Jesus, and I shared the gospel with him, witnessed to him, and we had a great conversation. He was not a Christian at the time. And he says to me, look, I appreciate what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I know about Jesus. My agent is a Christian. His agent was a Christian. He says, but I'm not ready. Everyone say ready. He said, I'm not ready. And he says, because I don't want to do it halfway. When I do it, I'm going to be 100%. So today I want to talk to you about being ready to do it 100%. As we've been going through the Gospel 9 and Just One Training, the very last word in the Gospel is the word ready, which we're going to review here in a minute. Because we always want to ask somebody when you're sharing your faith with them, are you ready? So today I'm going to not only going to ask you that question, are you ready to get saved, but I'm going to ask all y'all who raised your hand and said, this is your church. I'm going to ask you, are you ready to take it to another level? To you to do what God's telling you to do. Because, you know, in any church, 20% of the people do all the work, 80% of the work, and 80% of the people do 20% of the work. So a lot of y'all don't give. A lot of y'all don't serve. A lot of y'all not in a small group. You don't come consistently. You don't bring a Bible. But yet you say this is your church. So my challenge to you is, are you ready to be full in or not? That's going to be my challenge to you today. And the challenge is going to be for all of us, okay? So let's go back and now let's review Just One. This is week 5 in our training. This is not the training. The training is actually happening in small groups and online. You can get website at reachjustone.com. Download it. Do the training. Learn how to share your faith. Learn how to share your testimony. So you can lead someone to the Lord, just like David did, just like you saw. That is all of our responsibility. Can't be any more clear than that. It's all your responsibility. My job is to equip you to do it, but I can't equip you if you don't receive it. And so it's all our responsibility. So that's what we're going to challenge you today. So let's do the Gospel 9. These are the 9 words that frame the gospel. These are the 9 words that we built the gospel around. But the first thing is memorizing the words. So can everybody sit up in your seat? So take your butt and put it back. Booty back in your seat. Sit up straight. Get air in your lungs. Take a deep breath in. Say, Jesus. See how much power you have when you take a deep breath in? Take a deep breath in. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good. Let's say these 9 words. Say, relationship.
Relationship.
And whenever you're going to speak, especially loud, you want to get oxygen in first, okay? You don't want to exhale, then say it. It'll be weak. You want to inhale and then say it. So inhale. Say, relationship.
Relationship.
Say, rebel.
Rebel.
Say, ruin.
Ruin.
Say, role model.
Role model.
Say, ransom.
Ransom.
Say, rose.
Rose.
Take a deep breath in. Say, repent. Say, receive.
Receive.
Say, ready.
Ready.
One more time. Say, relationship.
Relationship.
Say, rebel.
Rebel.
Say, ruin.
Ruin.
Say, role model.
Role model.
Say, ransom.
Ransom.
Say, rose.
Rose.
Say, repent.
Repent.
Say, receive.
Receive.
Say, ready.
Ready.
Close your eyes. Visualize it. You see it. Take it off the screen. Can't cheat. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The first one is?
Relationship.
Second one is? Say, then what's after that?
Ruin.
Very good. Then what's after that?
Role model.
Oh, say role model.
Role model.
Think about this. He lived, he died, ransom, and then he rose. Say role model.
Role model.
What's next?
Ransom.
What's next?
Rose.
What's next?
Repent.
Hey. If I repent, I can receive. Say repent.
Repent.
Say receive.
Receive.
Are you? Hey, come on now, come on now. Okay, let's learn this quick story, then we're going to get into the message. Repeat after me, say, every birthday,
every birthday
I receive a gift.
I receive a
gift. I don't earn it.
I
didn't pay for it.
If I repent,
or if you repent,
you
can, if you repent
and believe,
you can receive
the gift of salvation.
Are you
ready?
Very good. Okay, come on. This story you're going to read is about a father who had 2 sons. The father was wealthy, and the 2 sons had an inheritance coming. One son says to his dad, I want my inheritance so I can go live my life. He gave it to him. He goes out, he lives his life, and he wastes everything. And then he comes to himself and says, I'm over here eating with the pigs. If I was home, I would, as one of my father's servants, I would be living better than this. So he goes home and says to his father, Father, I'm so sorry I sinned against you. His father sees him afar off and starts running to him and kisses him, so he's so happy to have him back. His brother, who never left, gets mad because His father never made a big deal about him. And so we're going to read the story. Now, in the story, you have to decide who you are in the story. Obviously, none of us are the father. The father in the story is God. And the two sons are us. Some of us have walked away from God. And we've gone and done our own thing. Now, you may be coming to church all the time, and you may be still reading your Bible, but you kind of push God away, and it's kind of, you're like in your own comfortable bubble. And then some of y'all might have just straight up gone crazy where you're out in the world getting high, doing all the stuff you do, and God is not, you're just here checking the box. And you're realizing that you're miserable. Because this guy had everything he could have wanted, and yet he left it, wasted it, and made his life miserable. And then he came back. So my encouragement to you, my challenge to you today is that you would say, you know what, I'm ready to say to God, God, I have sinned before you. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Now, some of y'all are going to do that onto salvation. In other words, you don't have Christ as your Savior. But for the most part of y'all, it's really, God, I've made my life comfortable. I've created a little bubble around my Christianity. I don't want people getting in my business. I don't want people getting in my money. I don't want to get people in my time. And I need to get out of that bubble. Because you're never going to learn and grow in anything by being comfortable. I'm going to say that again really slow. You want to get a degree? It ain't going to be comfortable. You want to lose weight? How many of y'all need to lose weight? Raise your hand really high. Look, my goodness. Guess what? If you really, really want to lose weight, you're going to have to be uncomfortable. How many of y'all want to work out? Not you just want to work out. You want to get ripped. You want to get in shape. Anybody? It ain't going to happen on the gym talking and smoking a cigarette. It's going to require pain. How many of y'all want to really be a godly person? Okay, it's going to take sacrifice. Period. So we're going to read the story, and then we'll get into the message. It says, chapter 15, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine or the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, everyone say, cluck-cluck. say, cluck-cluck. When I was in high school, I think junior high, high school, You know how different seasons, people, different words pop up in culture, like, you know, that's fire or facts. Y'all say facts now, right? Well, this is going to be a time when you ain't going to say facts, okay? Or that's the bomb. The bomb came and the bomb went out, okay? Well, when I was a kid, one of those things was, like, whoa, really, I could have ate a V8. It really wasn't that. It was similar to that. This is what it says. He says, he came to himself, like, Wait a minute. Everyone say, wait a minute. Say, wait a minute. He's like, if I go home, my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and leftovers, and I'm out here hungering, perishing with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father was looking for him. Now, God knows where you are, but he's looking for you. He's like, man. Matter of fact, God is following you around, like right here, going, I love you. Why are you doing that? Why are you with her? Why are you with him? Why are you dressing like that? Why are you eating that trash? Why are you watching that trash? Why are you listening to that trash? It's going to ruin your life. His father's looking for him, and God's looking for you. God's wanting to bless you. And it says, the son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, sandal on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive, and he is lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His oldest son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house and heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him, safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father, lo, all these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, not my brother, but this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Well, how do you know he was with the honeys? How does he know that? He wasn't, unless he was out there with them. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Do you know the only reason you'd be jealous of other people is because you're not taking advantage of the blessings that are available to you? The only reason you gossip about other people is because you ain't happy. Next time you're gossiping, just say to yourself, this is my misery speaking. This is all about my pain. The mouth speaks in the overflow of the heart. So if you're talking trash, that means your heart is full of trash. So much so you can't even hold it back. You gotta vomit it out. As this guy, he said to his son, what, you not happy your brother's back? He said, but you never did that for me. He says, what are you talking about? All this is available to you. Do you know how much blessing is available to you? Do you know that miracles are available to you? Do you know that supernatural power is available to you? Do you know that financial blessing is available to you? Do you know that relationship blessing is available to you? It is. You just gotta be obedient. Now, there may be people in your life, God's like, you're not having a blessing with them because they're rebellious. You gotta get rid of them. There are people in your life that you think you're stuck with. You're not stuck with them. Matter of fact, it may, your whole future, and I don't want to say future, but the opportunity for the blessings of God to flow in your life may be being held back by one person, one relationship. And it's not that they're holding it back. It's your attachment to this idol of a relationship that you got. In order for you to really embrace God for all that he has for you, you got to let this go. You can't hold on to both. And so his other son was like, hold on to, I'm being a goody two-shoe. And he's like, no, you had all this available to you, and you just tried to play it safe. Let me tell you something. Walking with God ain't about playing it safe. It's not about being comfortable. Jesus had a 3-year ministry, and at the end of his ministry, when he was at the height of his ministry, what did he do? He died. There was nothing comfortable about that. So success is not being comfortable. Success is being obedient. So number one in your notes, if you repent and believe, everyone say repent. Repent means to change the behavior and direction of your life when you realize you are wrong. There was a kid in my youth group 40 years ago. His name was Danny. Danny was a white kid, red hair, red freckles. He actually wasn't white. He was clear. No lie. You could see right through his skin, through his veins. You could see his veins right through. And he was 12, hanging out with high school kids. Came to Mexico with us, did ministry, did Bible study. He was just always ahead of his time as far as being mature. Well, Danny drifted away, got out of high school, drifted away from God. And one day, I'm in juvenile hall right there in Kearny Mesa, talking to these kids in juvenile hall, and I'm describing Danny. White kid, red hair, red freckles, blah, blah. And they go, Dan, and I said his last name. They said, Danny's down the hall. Literally, like half the class started, he's down the hall. And I said, hey, to the they call them coaches, at least back then, can you get Danny? Danny walks in the room, literally walks in the room, down to the front row. And I hadn't seen him since Bible study. Broke my heart. I said, Danny, you remember going to Bible study? Yeah. Now, here's a hilarious thing about it. Danny is a white kid, clear, red hair, red freckles, in a Mexican gang. Bro, what doesn't fit in this picture? I said, Danny, you remember going to Bible study? Yeah. You remember going to Mexico? ministering to the people at orphanage? Yeah. You remember leading Bible study? Yeah. You remember doing worship? Yeah. I said, Danny, are you better off now than you were then? Look what the Bible says. Luke 15, 17. He came to himself. Like, what am I thinking? How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I would arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven before you. You know what he said? You know what I'm asking you? How's that pornography thing working out for you? How's that drug thing working out for you? How's that yelling at women and trying to be abusive and controlling to women? How's that working out? Got a good woman in your life? How's that stealing thing working out? How's that gossip thing working out? It's not. It just doesn't. When are you going to come to yourself and say, you know what? I want to throw myself at the foot of the cross and really do what God calls me to do. There are so many people in this church, and I remember I asked you how many of y'all go to church here, that you're not doing the Just One training. Why? Why? You know better? You're sharing your faith successfully? Maybe you are, but I know the majority of you are not. And you just said, I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe you attend here, but I'm not your pastor. I'm the pastor of this church, but I just may not be your pastor. You're not in a small group. You don't give. I see you out in the mall. Hey, Pastor Miles, oh, that's all good and fine, but be careful that you don't deceive yourself, because you could be playing this Christian game so good that you got yourself fooled. And you end up dying, and God says, you know what? That game you were playing, I wasn't playing that game. I wasn't playing that game. And if I'm telling you that, you know God knows way more about what you do than I do. And then there's some people here, you call yourself a leader here, and you say, I'm not doing that. We're going to change you. How do you not learn how to share your faith? I don't get that. And so what we're talking about here is like, are you really, really in? You know what Jesus said? Either you're hot or you're cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. What he wants is passion. Like, be all in. If you're going to be all in, be all in. If you're going to be all out, be all out. But be one or the other. Don't be in the middle. And I would even tell you, people who are like, I don't know if I want to follow God, here's what you should do. You should go follow the, and this is going to sound so backwards coming from a pastor, but I'm telling you, go buck wild. Go buck wild and prove to yourself that the devil is not worth trusting. Because if you're trying to, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Oh, no. You got to be all in. Because God's, there's a law of logic called the law of the excluded middle. There's four laws of logic. I'm going to just tell you this one. The law of excluded middle means that you're either A or B, but not in the middle. You're either one or the other. And Jesus said that. He said you either be hot or you be cold, one extreme or the other. And so my challenge to you is like, look, are you going to, if you really want God's blessing, you got to turn away from this I'm committed, not committed person, and stop playing the game. And then I want to talk to all of us older people who are like maybe 40s, 20-something years younger than me, 50s, 60s, 70s. Remember the Bible says become like a child? You can get so grown, so much, you know, so much information that there's things you don't do anymore in the faith. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's in culture. So he says to come to yourself and say, Lord, I want all what God has for me. How many of y'all, and don't raise your hand because I'm raising my hand. How many of y'all want really all what God wants for you? Okay, let's try this one more time. So what we do here is when we raise our hand, this is like the elbow. So this is like the elbow area right here, where your bicep attaches to your forearm. There's an ulnar joint right there, bone. So we want to put this above our ear. There you go. How many of y'all want to? There you go. Okay, keep your hand up for a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you something to challenge you. The only way, because I don't know if you're telling the truth, the only way you know that you're telling the truth, because it doesn't matter to me, The only way you know you're telling the truth is if by what you do. So if you say, I really want it, and then it doesn't happen, what you're going to say is, I really wanted it. It was somebody else's fault why I didn't get it. No. It's by what you do. And trust me, if you really want it, and it's really want what God wants, you're going to have to fight through spiritual opposition, which means it's going to be uncomfortable. And so it's easier to say, I don't want to go through all that. That means you don't really want it. That means you just want it cheap. But if you really, really want it, the Bible says if you knock, he will open. If you call to him, he will answer you. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, you can give yourself a hand. Let's go. Two, you can receive the gift of salvation. To receive is the act of accepting something. Luke 15:20, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. I have a friend of mine who's going through a very difficult time right now, and I said to her, why don't you turn to God and be more committed to him? I said what I just said to you. She's like, well, I don't want to go to God now because I'm having a hard time. I would feel like that's hypocritical. I said, so you're telling me you rather suffer than to humble yourself before God and say, God, my bad. I've been doing this all by myself. Please help me. God, that's pride, because what you're saying is I want to get myself ready where I can actually deserve it. That's called pride. You're never going to be able to deserve it, no matter what you do. You can only come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And God wants you the way you are. When I was a kid, I was my parents' dishwasher, me and my siblings. My parents didn't have a dishwasher that plugged in the wall. They had dishwashers that slept in beds. When I grew up, I bought a dishwasher. And my wife would always tell me, before you put the dish in it, wipe the food off. I'm like, what's the point of having the dishwasher? If I wipe it two more times, it's clean. The dishwasher can't handle the food that you don't eat. We think the same way as God, that I got to clean my life up before I go to him. That don't work that way. You can't clean your life up. That's the reason Jesus died on the cross. You just got to go to him the way you are with all your junk. Number three, are you ready? Here's the thing. Are you ready is a willingness and preparedness to receive something. In every sport, basketball, there's a ready position. Football, there's a ready position. Volleyball, ready position. Baseball, ready position. Volleyball, ready position. Ping pong, there's a ready position. There is no sport that doesn't have a ready position. Tennis. My grandson was playing baseball against some kids that were below the level of the team he usually plays on, and he literally was on third base like this. I was like, bro, you're not in a ready position. You'll never see any athlete that's standing around like this when something's getting ready to happen. You got to be in a ready position. Can I get amen? And if you're bent down, got your weight evenly distributed, you go right, left, back, forward, no matter where you are, you got to be in a ready position. The ready position is always bent over and getting low. That's the physical. But in the spiritual, the ready position is right here. And not only physically, but in your heart that you say, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. There are a bunch of people in our church that work a lot every week so you can come here and have an experience. But it's not to put on an event. It's to invite you into a relationship with Jesus so he can change your life. And our request to you is that you come ready to receive whatever God has for you, and then you go out and do it. Amen? Our culture in the United States of America is not that. Go to church, check the box, I've been there, I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. The Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible says that your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, that you will justify yourself all day long and be wrong the whole time. That's why we need God. Amen? In a minute, you're going to see a skit, and then we're going to give you opportunity to receive Christ and take communion. Amen? So check out the skit.
I just want to know, after hearing everything that we've been saying, like, where's your head at?
I mean, it's interesting, but I don't know, Sarah. I'm going to just keep doing me.
Keep doing you?
Yeah.
Bro, how long are you just going to keep doing you for? Like, I know the cycle that you're on. Get high, crash out, you're empty, and then just repeat again. Like, it's just a cycle, and I've broken the cycle and gotten freedom, and I just don't understand, like, why don't you want the same thing for yourself?
I just, what do you ask me to do, Sarah? Like, you know, stop smoking, get clean, like, say 100 prayers. Like, what's the catch here, guys?
There's no catch. God, I want to let you know that you don't got to try to clean yourself or stop doing those things to come to Jesus. Jesus actually does that for you and with you. He didn't come to find the righteous people, but he came to seek that which was lost. He wants to bring sinners into repentance. It's what he's going to do through you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is receive.
That reminds me of the gift illustration from the Reach Just One training. Okay, so every Christmas, every birthday, what do you get?
I don't know. Gifts.
Yeah, it's not a trick question exactly. Yeah. Gifts. We receive gifts, but not because we earn or deserve them. We just receive them because we're loved, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way, God wants to give you a gift of freedom, of healing, a gift of salvation and a clean, fresh start. And all you gotta do is receive it. Like, you don't earn it or deserve it. He just gives it to you because he loves you, right? And we just get to receive it. It's beautiful. But I prayed this really simple prayer, is as simple as ABC in order to receive this. And it literally is ABC. So I admitted that I was a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. B, believe. I believe that Jesus died taking the penalty of my sin and that he rose back to life again. And C, confess. I confess that Jesus is my Savior, and I confessed it by repenting and following him. So, would you want to pray that prayer?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm all good.
Right. Fair enough. Okay, I'm just curious, Nick, because, like, what more can we give you? Like, what more do you need?
$2.5 million would be really nice.
Oh, my goodness.
After taxes.
$2.5 million.
Yeah.
Nicholas. What's your middle name, Nicholas?
Vaughn.
Nicholas Vaughn Jones. Come on.
Have them put that on the check. Make it right.
Okay, so that is nothing compared to what God's got for you.
You asked me.
Nick. There is no amount of money that can give you the freedom, the healing, the peace that Jesus can offer. In all seriousness, what's stopping you from giving your life to Christ? Like, let me know.
You know, I've tried God already.
Okay.
You know, what's going to be different? What's going to change this time?
Okay. So the last time when you tried God, how was it? Did you find any changes happen within you?
Yeah, because when people say they tried God, what I think they actually mean is that they just want God to fix everything.
Yeah.
And they themselves, they don't want to change anything. They don't want to surrender. And believing in God isn't just this thought in your head. It's a changing in your heart, like an actual shifting that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's repentance is what she's describing. It's when you have this one way of thinking or behavior that you're going and walking into and deciding that you were wrong, seeing the evidence that your fruit is leading to death, and changing your mind. In the same way, we want to make sure we repent when we give our life to Christ. You know, he's offering us this opportunity to repent. You just got to do it.
Yeah. So we've told you about repentance. We've told you that if you just repent and believe that you can receive this free gift of salvation. And Nick, God is at the door, but he's not going to force himself in, but he's knocking. And I know you hear it. I know you've been hearing it. I just want to know, like, what if you decided to open that door and let God come in, like, right now? Are you ready?
Can y'all say, Nick, when are you going to get saved?
Nick, when are you going to get saved? Yay!
Well, hopefully next week it'll be the last episode, so come back next week. You know, when you get to the end of the movie, somebody's going to die. It's usually the black guy, too, I'm saying. I'm just saying. Dennis and James are going to come up and share the gospel with you as you contemplate that comment.
Good afternoon, family. My name is Dennis, and I was fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian household. But even though my parents loved God, I still grew up in an environment that was physically and emotionally abusive. Because of this, I thought I had to be perfect in order to win my parents' love. I had to be the perfect child with perfect grades, be the best in sports, and never make a mistake. Unfortunately, this is how I also saw God's love for me. But I'm human, and I make mistakes, and I didn't live up to the expectations I set for myself. And because of this, I felt like I didn't live up to the standard I wanted for God. And I feel like I was just not worthy of God's love. Because of this, I started to abuse alcohol, started to smoke weed and threw myself at women, and very quickly, I turned away. And one day, after a bad breakup, I was at the lowest point in my life. I was deeply depressed, I was super anxious, and I saw no purpose in life. And then I remembered, when I was a kid, I used to go to church all the time. So I decided, okay, that Sunday, I'm gonna go to church. And when I walked through those doors right over there, and for the first time in a long time, I felt the presence of God over my life. And then Jesus. Then Jesus reminded me of my identity. He showed me that despite my imperfections, that he still loved me, that he's chasing after me, and there's nothing I could do to separate his love from me. And at that day, I recommitted my life to Christ. And since then, God has restored my relationship with my family. He's given me a loving community that, you know, and I've never felt more loved in my life. And I'm able to share this love of Jesus to everyone else around me, especially to the youth and the young adults and rock kids.
Come on.
Let's give it up for that.
That's awesome.
Well, good afternoon, rock family. My name is James, and before Jesus, I grew up Catholic my whole life, and I always knew who God was, but I never understood what it was like to have a relationship with him, and that followed me up until I went off to college, and my freshman year, I discovered this emptiness, this loneliness I had in my heart, and I tried to fill that with alcohol, with weed, and with other drugs. And that addiction led me to getting kicked out of my college my freshman year due to not going to class and just getting bad grades. And that pattern continued for about another 5 years or so. And in that 5 years, I had a broken relationship with my parents, with my siblings, and I just felt everything was just coming down. Then Jesus came into my life. When my beautiful wife and I came to the Rock Church for the first time, and I sat in this little section right over here, and when I heard worship for the very first time in my life, never heard worship before, I felt God's presence truly come over me, and he told me that he loved me, and he was always there for me in my struggles. Since then, I've been just blessed tremendously by God. I fully committed my life to him. I've been able to serve in Rock Kids and serve with the youth as well. My relationship with my parents has been strong. My relationship with my sister actually came down from San Bernardino.
Come on, woo!
Love you guys. And my marriage has truly been blessed since committing my life to God. And on top of all that, God has given me the strength to go back to that same college I got kicked out of and graduate from there with my bachelor's
degree. Come on! Yeah.
Now, family, God created all of us in his image to live in a loving relationship with him, but pridefully, we all rebelled and ruined that opportunity. But God loves us so much that he brought Jesus down to live as a perfect role model for us. He lived the life that we should have lived. And as a perfect ransom, he died the death that we should have died in our place. And to prove that he is not only the Son of Man, the Son of God, but there is life after death, he rose on the third day. Now, family, if you repent for your sins, you can receive that free gift of salvation. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, come on. In a minute here, we're gonna give you guys the opportunity to make that decision to follow Jesus. And to be honest, it's just as simple as ABC. A, admit. Admit that that you've made mistakes, that the penalty of sin is death. B, believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose after 3 days. And C, confess. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and commit your life to him. See, I don't know where you guys are at. Some of you guys might have never made that decision, or some of you guys are like me where you knew God at a young age, but then you ran away, and now you're ready to just run back into the Father's arms. Because God wants to take away that depression. God wants to take away your anxiety. God wants to break those strongholds in your life. And all starts with a decision to follow him. So with our head bowed and our eyes closed, just repeat the simple prayer after me in the quiet of your heart. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and that the penalty of sin is death. I believe that Jesus came down, died on the cross for my sins. And after 3 days, he rose again. God, I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin, and I commit my life to you. So now with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, if you made that decision today, we want to give you an opportunity to make that public declaration in your life by standing on the count of three. The Bible says that when one person accepts Jesus in their life, all of heaven rejoices. And right now, we want to rejoice with you and celebrate that decision that you've made today. So on the count of three, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, we would like to ask you to stand up. One, two, three. Stand up, stand up.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Very good. God bless you.
God bless you.